I will start off by reading from the letter of Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest catch them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. I repeat verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. This is the end of the matter. After, you know, the merry-go-round, ups and downs, searching here and there, communing with each other, digging up things hidden from the foundation of the world, now we see what the end result is. Simply summarized in charity or love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now, this is what God seeks to restore in His sons today who are dispersed in this world. And this is the only way in which a man can live a life that is fulfilled. That true life, full of, you know, vitality, the joy of the Lord, peace unspeakable, victory in every situation, it can only be achieved when we have all attained to this place of pure love, pure conscience, and this thing builds in us a faith that is unshakable. You see, I will tell you something that will surprise some of you out there who are listening, who are just bumping into this message. This faith unfeigned that Paul talks about here is the power of, you know, of the ages to come in Christ. It is the all power of God that was bestowed on the sons of God right from the beginning of the world. That faith unfeigned is the faith that moves mountains. It is the faith that created everything seen in the heavens and on the earth. It is the faith by which this world, this universe that we see, is sustained. It is the first faith of the Son of God For we know that all things created, all things seen, whether invisible, you know, visible or whatever, seeing things created in times past, presently, and in, you know, in times to come, we are all created by the Son of God. Because God created the whole world, everything that is in it, by the Son, through the Son. The Son is the embodiment of God Himself. And this very attribute of love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, pure love, light, a consciousness of pure light, pure love, because God is love, that consciousness belongs to the Son of God. And that is the consciousness or the state of being that God wants to awaken His sons back to in this hour. That is why we are hearing messages today like this, you know. It's all to revive man back to that place of perfection, of love unfeigned, faith unfeigned. So you can once more, you know, manifest the Alpha power. That power that you exhibited in the beginning, when you were among the stars of God, shouting for joy when the foundation of the earth were made. Praise God. Jesus Christ came to a place and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That should be the confession of every child of God who rediscovers himself in light. This is the end of the commandment. Daniel saw multitudes who were sleeping in their graves, who were sleeping dead in their graves. Daniel saw them awakening from their graves. They awoke as the great prince Michael stood in their midst to fight for them. How does the Prince Michael fight? Simply by relaying the words of truth. It's the messenger of God, the embodiment of the messengers of God, the embodiment of the Spirit of God, angels, servants, announcing the glad tidings of the kingdom. The last trumpet, the message of the kingdom, and those who are deep asleep, thinking that they are, you know, some kind of terrestrial creatures, thinking that they have lives in this world, having their treasures in a world that does not exist. These people come back to their senses. They begin to awaken. And when they are waking, they begin to shine as the stars. Daniel saw the stars. They shall shine as the stars forever. Arise and shine. To shine, all you need to do is arise, to awake. You don't need religion to shine. You don't need the procedures of religion to shine. You don't need to do this and do this to shine. All you need to do to shine is to arise, awake. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Arise, awake, and you will know that you are the glory of God. You are the light of the world. That is the consciousness of pure love and perfection. That is the end of the faith. Receiving instruction from the Spirit is receiving the commandment. And the commandment is simply return back to your first estate in Christ. Return back and conform yourself back to that image I demonstrate to you. That image I begin to, you know, reveal to you as you hear the voice of God. Praise God. When a man awakens from the dead, he begins to discover that pure consciousness, which is the consciousness of the lamp of God. The lamp of God. Hallelujah. The lamp of God is the one that rules over all. That consciousness of love and innocence is the one that reigns on the throne of God. In the book of Revelations, chapter 22, this is John seeing, looking into the new Jerusalem, God's kingdom. He was seeing a revelation of things to come concerning you and I. Things to come that are actually already present for the sons of God, those who are waking to truth. He was seeing the new Jerusalem, the city of the lamp, the realm of the lamp. See, it's a city, a realm where nothing that makes a lie, nothing that defies can ever find the door into that city. You can't even see the door, talk less of entering it. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's the realm of the Son of God, of the beloved of God, the lamp of God. Praise God. It's your realm. It's your dimension. It's your world, your kingdom. And the Father is here to gather his people back into that place. I started from verse 1, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the streets of it. And on either side of the tree was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Praise God. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be written upon their foreheads. Praise God. Let's stop here. Hallelujah. We see that in the midst of the new Jerusalem, which is God's kingdom, remember, Jesus Christ came to preach that kingdom. Repent, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is come. He came to preach God's kingdom, God's word, God's realm. See, he didn't come to preach politics. He didn't come to promote Christians in power, in government, and all that stuff. He didn't come here to kind of, you know, better the systems of men, you know, or to further the cause of humanity. Rather, he came to preach God's world, God's kingdom, the real world. Praise God. That is the realm where there is, you see, the causes, that the things that people experience in this age does not exist in our realm. Praise God. Those things are alien in the realm of God's kingdom. Praise God. And John sees here the throne of God and of the Lamb. So we see the throne of God is also the throne of the Lamb. Praise God. The throne of God is also the throne of the Lamb. Because the lamp and God are one. Have you heard of two people sitting on the throne? The throne of God is the throne of the Lamb and of God. And God and the Lamb are one thing. We have established that the Lamb of God is you and I. The Lamb of God is every man you see upon the face of the earth. So, but to reign in life, every man must rediscover himself sitting on that throne in God's kingdom. President, this is what the whole gospel is all about. That Lamb of God, something happened to God's lamp. Something happened to God's, you know, only lamp. Somewhere along the line, the lamp was slain. Somewhere along the line, the lamp was murdered. Oh, praise God. That lamp represents the innocence, the perfection of pure light, the consciousness of pure love that every man lost when they started to occupy themselves with idols. You know, this world is a realm of idols. Those things we live in relation to, you know, in this world are idols. They look as though they are, but they are not. Momentarily, these things appear and they look as if they are your life. They become gods to you. See, and your treasures, you know, now become placed upon the earth. Your focus now becomes, you know, that of the earthly. And in so doing, your mind is darkened. Your consciousness is darkened. And you lose that pure consciousness of the Lamb of God that you truly are. Adam in the Garden of Eden represents the consciousness of the Lamb of God. Praise God. That is the Lamb of God sitting upon the throne of God. Didn't you see the stream of life, the crystal clear river flowing out of the throne of God in Eden? That same river that parted into four rivers. That is that same stream of life, crystal clear river of life that was proceeding out of the throne of God in the Garden of Eden. All that is the same New Jerusalem that we see in Revelation chapter 21. Hallelujah. This is what God is trying to restore. Because we know that in Adam all died. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All men die in Adam. Adam is a parable of how we were individually slain. How we lost the lamp consciousness. How we lost that innocence, that perfection that we truly are. Praise God. Adam was slain by the liar and the murderer. Jesus Christ says the devil has been the murderer and the liar from the beginning. He was the one who murdered the Lamb of God. He murdered the Lamb of God by deceiving the Lamb of God into believing that is of the earth, into believing that is of the dust below. Hallelujah. That same thing that happened to Adam is what happens to every man as he enters into this world. The wisdom of this age is that same wisdom of the serpent, of the dragon, of Satan. That darkens the comprehension of men and hides the reality of their true nature and their true origin, which is in God. Satan veils the reality of God's kingdom, of which you are a part and parcel of. You originate from God's kingdom, from God's invisible world. But all along, you have been sowing to the flesh, you know, living this world as if this is your realm. And this thing has, you know, brought a lot of sorrow and pain to you. You have sought the riches and the glories of this world. You've tried to increase in the flesh. And in the process, you have pierced yourself with sorrows. Praise God. But God now wants to revive the lamp. God wants to revive the sons of God. The sons of God. He wants to revive his lamp today. He wants the lamp that is in you to rediscover its place in the throne of God. To rediscover the all power that was lost from the foundation of the world. The foundation of the world. The world was formed when the lamp is slain. When the lamp is slain, you now introduced into a wilderness situation called the world, where there is no knowledge of God, where you have to struggle for survival, where you have to make ends meet, where you have to, you know, toil day and night, where you cannot bring fruits of joy, of peace, where there is no faith. Hallelujah. The lamp of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. That is you and I. That is every man upon the face of the earth that tasted death through the transgression that is in Adam. Praise God. So all that the commandment does now is to revive the lamp, to bring him back to the place of all power and all authority. Hallelujah. Because that is where the lamp belongs. Praise God. Go quickly to the book of Revelation. Chapter 5. Now Revelation chapter 5. Is another vision here of things to come. Revelation, the book of Revelation, which is actually the book of the Apocalypse, is the book of the unveiling of the Son of God in you. It's the unveiling of the Man of Light in you. It's the unveiling of the lamp of God in you, the throne of God in you. It's the unveiling of the glory of God in you, the fullness of the glory of God that is in you. It's already present in you. See, but it has been veiled, all it has been sealed and veiled all this while by the influences of that serpent. See, but as the revelation truth comes forth, exposing the works of darkness. Now the exposing the works of darkness is not what somebody did to you years ago. You know, people are very superstitious. Like in Africa, you have people believe that somebody did this to them, somebody cast a spell upon them. Somebody, you know, placed a curse on them years ago, and you know, some kind of influence of somebody. All these things are just superstition. So the works of darkness that is being exposed today is the veiling with which you have been veiled by Satan. Hallelujah. Satan simply hides your true nature from you. He hides your origin from you. He hides the mystery of your oneness with God from you. He hides the mystery of your light body, your nature, your immaterial body, he hides all these things from them. That is the work of Satan. Satan veils the consciousness of man. He hides the lamp nature in you. He slays the lamp because he has been a murderer and a liar from the beginning. He feeds you with lies, causing you to conform to the terrestrial and to the mortal. But God says it shall not be so with you as you hear the message of the kingdom in this hour. Praise God. So everything you see in the book of Revelation is all about the unveiling of the lamp of God in you. God wants to revive his lamps. Hallelujah. Praise God. Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of elders stood a lamp, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamp, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art too worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, that we shall reign over the earth. Praise God. Now let's go down to verse 12 or verse 11, if I were really there. Behold, I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000, 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth, and as such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. And the four beasts said, Amen. Hallelujah. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Now, this thing will shock you, but you better believe that what John was seeing here was a picture of what happens within him or within every son of God as he awakens back into that lamb consciousness that was slain from the foundation of the world. That lamb that was slain is you and I. It is every man upon this earth that has tasted of death. That perfection of God, that beauty of God, that love creature of God, that innocent, creature of God that was slain. Praise God. I notice that all the worship and all the attention is to him and to him that sits upon the throne, because they are one. The lamp and the Father are one. The lamp and God are what? Are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. That is the lamp of God speaking through Jesus. The lamp of God is the truth, is the way, the life of every man. Praise God. Those seven eyes of the lamp are the eyes of understanding that we are deemed by Satan in man's descent into mortality, into vanity living. Praise God. And those eyes are being restored today by the Spirit of God, the anointing within us. See it. Is unveiling us today to the mystery of Christ, the mystery of our true nature, and the mystery of our realm, our world. Hallelujah. That lamp of God in you is the one that inherits all the power, all the riches, all the wisdom, all the strength, all the honor, all the glory, all the blessings. Everything that is God is His. See, but it's not a man. It's not a terrestrial creature. It's not a human being. Now you understand why Jesus Christ says you must lose your life. Because your life upon the earth is simply a deviation from truth. Your life upon the earth is the work of the devil. It's a formulation of the lie of the devil. And we know that the revelation is coming today to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. John the Apostle saw an angel descending from heaven with a big chain in his hand, with which he bound the devil, the dragon, which is Satan, which is Leviathan, which is that same serpent. He bound it and cast it into a bottomless pit. 1,000 years. Meaning that he's destroying every influence of Satan in our lives. And immediately after, he saw thrones set. And those who had lost their head from the testimony of Jesus were ruling and reigning with Christ 1,000 years. Who are these? Ruling with Christ 1,000 years. Ruling and reigning upon the throne of God. It's those who have been delivered by the influence of Satan. Hallelujah. Satan in our lives bound forever so that we can walk in the reality of our inner light bodies. We can walk perfectly once more in heavenly places, far away from the defiling and corrupting powers of this age below. Hallelujah. The end of the commandment is to rediscover the lamp in you. He's the one that sits on the throne of God. Now we know why Jesus Christ prayed that Lord's Prayer. He says, "Thy kingdom come." And then he says, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Thy kingdom come in me." Then he now says, "Thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever." Jesus Christ knew what to pray for. He knew what to hope for. He knew what prayer was. He's not praying today for a promotion, praying for bread, praying for this or that. But he's rather praying that he may discover the lamp in himself, the lamp of God in himself, who does what? Rules on the throne of God, who has the kingdom of God, who has the glory, who has the power, who has the riches and everything that is God's. Give us this day our daily bread, not just ordinary bread, rather give us that spiritual bread to cause an increase in the inner man, which is Christ in you. Hallelujah. Where the fightings come from, jealousies, bitterness, hates, wars, and all the ills you see in society today, is because men are veiled from the reality of their true nature. Hallelujah. If you walk in your true nature, you are perfect, you are free from those things that the men struggle with. See, because any man that is a sinner is a slave to sin. But the Son of God is not a slave to sin. See, this is the innocence that God is restoring to His church today. Hallelujah. The lamp consciousness. The consciousness of the lamp. Hallelujah. Praise God. No man upon the earth, no man living carnally, can, partake of the glory of God. no man upon the earth has a part in the Lamb's book of life. To be in the Lamb's book of life simply means to rediscover yourself in Christ. It's not some kind of register somewhere in the sky. That's no such thing. Praise God. Let's quickly read Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, that was, you know, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, what is he talking about? Who is the him here that they worship? In Revelation chapter 13, he's talking about the beast. Because John had just seen a beast rising out of the sea. You see, all the men of this earth worship the beast, which is Satan. See, to be a satanic worshiper does not mean that you have a kind of temple and you call it a satanic temple. You have some people that are called, you know, Satanists. People who kind of build their own kind of religious structure and they call it Satanism. All that is baloney. See, to worship the beast is all about walking in the nature of the beast. It's about walking simply in carnality, walking in the lie. That is worship of the beast. When you walk as a human, when you walk as a terrestrial creature, that is worship of the beast. See, Adam became a worshiper of the beast from the moment he started receiving from him. In fact, he became a child of the devil. Jesus Christ says, you have your father, the devil. You have your father, your God, the devil. Praise God. So all men who walk in the lie, which is in the flesh, are worshippers of the beast. And once you worship the beast, you do not have a part in the Lamb's book of life. You see, but God is not in the business of condemning anybody. He's not in the business of coming to accuse anybody. All he wants is that his sons return back to their first estate. That is what God is interested in. God wants his lambs to return back to the fold. Praise God. God wants his lambs to rediscover the all power with which they created the heavens and the earth today. He wants them to return back to their estate. Hallelujah. Receive the revelation today of the lamp of God in you. Receive the revelation of the perfection that you are. The light being that you are. The innocence that you are. Put on the seven eyes of the lamp once more. And rediscover your place on the throne of God. If you put on the eyes, the seven eyes of the lamp, it means that you no longer perceive things after the way men perceive things. So your eyes are open to see God's realm, the realm of the invisible. See, that realm that the three disciples saw Jesus Christ in when he transfigured, that is the realm of the lamp. And that is where your eyes will see. That is the realm you now begin to walk in. No longer upon the earth where men are dead in their sins and trespasses. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. The eyes of the lamp. The eyes of the lamp will lead you back to your true state. Your innocent state. The love creature that you are. The perfection that you are. Hallelujah. Let the past be past, because the past does not exist in the eyes of the lamp. The eyes of the lamb sees only the present. The eyes of the lamb sees only the truth. The eyes of the lamb only sees that which the Father sees. So if you look at yourself as a sinner, if you look back at what you think you did years ago, you're only seeing the lie. Put on the eyes of the lamb and begin to ascend out right now out of the realm of condemnation, out of the realm of, you know, despair. Arise right now where you are by the revelation of the lamp of God in you. Hallelujah. The perfection that you truly are in God. It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. The lamp of God is all that the Father has. Do you know that? Eternally speaking, all that the Father has is his little lamp, which is you. That is all that he has. Because the other things you see round about us are just things that come and go. It's like this world is like the playground of the lamp. Everything just comes and goes, takes shapes, and you know, it comes. But there's only one thing that the Father has throughout all eternity, and that is his lamp. Hallelujah. I'll just show you a proverb. You know, the Bible is rich with proverbs. All these things are there to edify us concerning the mystery of our origin in Christ, our nature in God. Hallelujah. A proverb of Nathan the prophet to David many years ago. I'll be fast on this. I'll just want to just point out one aspect to it. This is a spiritual proverb. Let's quickly turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but a little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. He did eat of his own meat, drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamp and dressed it for the man that was come up to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that has done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamp fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. You see, when you read these proverbs, you begin to wonder at times. You know, God is full of humor. Hallelujah. See, David went into a rage when he heard this proverb. David did not realize that it was reference to himself. Because David had just killed the husband, or rather Uriah, you know, who was the husband of Bathsheba. David had blood on his hand. You see, but if you dig into this proverb, you see, this proverb cannot be understood by the natural man. You see, these are not things for men. These are proverbs for you and I. Of course, these things might sound foolish to men out there. They have no meaning. But this is our life to you. Because that lamp today is your true self, your true state, which is one with God. And you better believe that this is all that God has throughout all eternity. That lamp is a child of God, is one with God, And that is the only thing that God has in this world, is you. Without you, God has nothing. Without you, there is no world, there is no creation. There is nothing visible, nothing. There is nothing at all. Because that which creates this world, that which does the maintaining and everything, is the lamp of God which you are. Because without the lamp of God, nothing is created, nothing is made, nothing is maintained. Through him all things were created, and without him was nothing created. Are you listening to a great secret here? So you see the importance of you rediscovering the lamp in you. This lamp that had been slain by the man of the flesh. God wants his lamp to be revived today. That lamp that was slain from the foundation of the world, God wants it back. It is God's. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's vitally important we know it, that also to the lamp, all that the lamp has is the Father. At least all that the lamp has is the Father. The lamp does not have a treasure in this world. It does not have anything in this world. All that the lamp has is what? It's God the Father. It's important we begin to understand our eternal union with God. Our oneness with God. There's no God decide here and yet we are one. And God wants to restore this oneness today. By awakening his lamps back into life. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 16 verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come that you shall be scattered every man to his own. And shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. Be of good cheer, I, the lamp of God, have overcome the world. Praise God, if you want to overcome the problems of this world, and all the tribulation of this world, which is actually a result of annihilation from the life of God, every man must discover the lamp that of God that is his. Praise God. Notice here that Jesus Christ knew that the only thing that would ever remain with him was the Father. Men will come and go. Things will change, and you know, there will be ups and downs in this world that we see today. But there's one thing that will remain forever. I and the Father are one. That is eternity itself. Praise God. So let every man arise this moment as he hears the voice of the Master. Let the lamp in you arise back and sit upon the throne. Hallelujah. Put on the seven eyes of the Spirit and begin to see things of the Spirit once more. Sit upon the throne and rule over all once more. This is the desire of God. His desire is to give you the kingdom, because the kingdom is yours. God bless you.
Him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. Yeah. see.